Today's Friday, July 6th. They talk about Friday the 13th, but Friday the 6th is just as bad.
Who's the killer that comes out on Friday the 6th?
It's Jason Voorhees' younger brother, 006 and a half.
Did he also die in the lake? You'd think they would have learned after the first time.
These are a lot of movie references that I don't know.
What? You don't know Friday the 13th?
I've never seen them. I never seen them.
I would think that even kids today would know Friday the 13th.
I'm familiar with the franchise, but I've never watched one.
Yeah, the story's great.
Is there much of a story?
I mean, spoiler alert. But the first movie is not about Jason.
Oh.
Jason drowns in the lake, and the camp people are too busy fornicating and doing drugs to save him. And it's the mother. That's why he hates the campers.
Of course.
Because, like, you know, it's like if you have sex in a horror movie, you're going to get killed. That's why.
Well, I never knew that's where that trope came from.
Yeah.
Today I learned. That's why people watch this program, for educational anecdotes like that.
First up, we've got hardware news and technology and just like actually like technology as opposed to technology and policy, technology and government, and you know that kind of stuff.
Leaks everywhere.
Data leaks. Oh my gosh. Although the people that work professionally in the industry probably appreciate that because it's like, oh, let me go check that thing
that I'm working on.
SD cards could soon hold 128 terabytes of storage. This is a clickbait headline. This is not the
they didn't even try on this graphic even. I mean, look at that.
The cards support 128 terabytes of addressing, but that's like me saying my ZFS pool can totally store, you know, 128 exabytes of data. It's like it's not going to be that anytime soon.
Yeah, they talk about how we're not even at 2 terabytes and how many years has it been? Several years they've been trying. Oh, started in 2009.
Yeah.
So could be doing this. They also talk about 900 and some gigabytes per second or megabytes per second. What is it? 930 something.
Can't read.
Anyway, big and fast, but who knows when we'll see these.
Maybe never. The interface is probably going to PCI Express. And PCI Express 4.0, you could contemplate. 512 gig is what you can get now, which is not bad. And I'd say 1 terabyte's on the horizon because, again, stacking technologies and all this other sort of stuff. But the increased data density also means that these devices are going to be more fragile and more susceptible to things like, you know, bit flips and other stuff. NAND flash with this kind of density, I mean, we are moving into an era where you've got, you know, 4-level cells. But I think phase change memory and that sort of thing is when we're going to see these crazy data densities. So this is entirely clickbait headlines to get everybody excited about ultra capacity SD cards. And that's literally all this is.
They do talk about the, you know, necessity being the mother of invention. And we are getting into video formats that demand ultra storage. So maybe they'll be motivated.
I want raw, uncompressed 8K. I want to be able to recreate exactly what the sensor was seeing in raw 8K. Why do you need that?
Just because.
YouTube's going to screw that compression one way or the other anyway. So
my Taylor Swift Now. I need an 8K.
You do need Taylor Swift Now at 8K. That's the only way to watch it. And full, you know, 13.1 surround. Otherwise, you're wasting your time.
I think Google's new gaming platform is going to be at 8K. Google's planning a game platform that could take on Xbox and PlayStation. So, according to Kotaku, is that how you pronounce
Kotaku,
that?
Kotaku, yeah.
Kotaku. Sources. This just reeks of just no.
Well, I think, you know, Ubisoft was talking about it, and then Microsoft and Sony sort of hinted at it, and now you're talking about Google. And I think what they're doing is they want, no matter the cost, no matter how bad the experience gets with crappy bandwidth, they want software as a service.
Yeah.
They're tired of you owning these games. That is not acceptable. And so this is going to be, it's going to be like 3D TV. Nobody wants it. But they're going to do everything they can to make it a thing. And the only way it's not going to be a thing is when nobody buys it.
When I first saw this, I kind of thought it was Google remaking Chrome boxes. So we have Chromecast and Chromebooks. But a lot of companies have tried the Android set-top box that you could play games on. And mostly those have been terrible and or things have ended in disaster. I could see Google like pushing that because there's a lot of mobile games and, you know, playing that on a TV could maybe be a thing, but most games are designed for touchscreen. It's really the only problem with
that.
But
also mobile games are good when you're waiting to get your oil changed. They're not as good when you're relaxing at home and you have other choices.
Are you saying that I would not enjoy Pixel Dungeon on an 80-inch TV?
Well, I'm just saying there are better
the same way.
There are better formats of Pixel Dungeon than on Android, you know, and on 80-inch TV you're going to have access to those. So
yeah. You could enter a whole new genre of game. What about, like, I could play Diablo 2. What if I use my phone as a touchpad and I was playing, like, Diablo 2 on an 80-inch touchscreen? Because my phone should totally be able to run Diablo 2 at this point, I would think.
But that's a more limited control method.
Yeah. Hey, there's people playing PUBG on their phone.
So. Yeah, and that's wrong.
It is wrong.
It is a crime against humanity.
In an FPS on a phone, I'll never know.
I don't even think people should be playing Fortnite on a console. That ain't right. Although that I didn't include the story because it's kind of a ridiculous thing. But Xbox is going to start maybe allowing mouse and keyboard for the first time this year.
There are some accessories that will permit a mouse and keyboard, but it's not a great mapping
It's a hacky kind of thing. So these are going to be official Xbox mouse and keyboard.
You realize there's a way to make money off this. We should take it.
All the competitive players are going to be in for a world of hurt because controller, like, the math has been done. Controller versus keyboard mouse for most of those games. It's good. Like, controllers are good for Rocket League. Keyboard mouse are good for games like PUBG. And that's just the way
it is. First person shooters, you just need the accuracy of a mouse, I think.
Yeah. Another kind of exciting piece of hardware this week, maybe, is Microsoft's details. The secret port pocketable Surface device in Elite Email. So this is a dual screen device, probably. That's what everybody thinks. And it's basically a pocket Surface that opens up and it's just one big screen with a pen.
Yeah, I like they're talking about how the hinge itself, when opened, would be pixels. Which, that seems incredible. I don't know how they would do that.
I'd love to see if that was real.
There's a mock-up screenshot of it here. Yep. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's another project from Microsoft when the iPad came out, and it was called the Microsoft Courier Tablet. It's from 2009, so we're talking 10 years ago, pretty much almost. You should check out videos of the Microsoft Courier Tablet, because they imagined a tablet similar to this 10 years ago, and the thing that made that such an amazing piece of hardware was the software experience. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Windows 1803 and thinking, it's been 10 years and Microsoft still hasn't figured out how to deliver a good software experience. So I think the hardware is going to be amazing. I think the software experience is probably going to be a dumpster fire.
Cool idea, though.
It is a cool idea. And the Microsoft Courier tablet isn't even like, it's almost like, wow, this is a really amazing, like, this looks incredible. This absolutely looks incredible. Why don't we have this? Because somebody should have been working on this for the last decade. We still don't have it. Have you got a MacBook with the new butterfly key switches? Well, I've got some bad news. Those wear out really easily. And if there's like one tiny speck of dust in them. But finally, Apple has come out with a service program for those keyboards.
The thing about this that stands out to me is it's like, what service will I receive? Well, the tech will determine what level of service you need. So I wonder if a lot of them, it's like, oh, this is a little sticky. You don't qualify. Sorry. Just go back home.
It gets stuck sometimes when I'm trying to hit the delete key and then it just deletes a bunch of stuff.
So stop deleting things.
Yeah. I have that problem for real at home right now and I haven't bothered to replace my keyboard.
It really is amazing how much the keyboard has regressed on Apple laptops, because the keyboard on modern Apple laptops is garbage.
Has anyone ever really liked their keyboards?
They've gone from like middling and okay to just terrible.
Like the Superfly keyboard, I don't like understand why anyone would choose that experience, really. But
I don't know. I've got an unusually flat keyboard on the Dell XPS 2-in-1. It's got almost twice as much travel distance as the Mac keyboard, but it's still not very much travel distance compared to other keyboards, but I mean, the Cadillac keyboard experience is probably the Surface Book on laptops, because you got big keys with a lot of travel distance, and they're metal. So, yeah. Hackaday's got the world's smallest computer, probably. This giant thing in the picture is a grain of rice.
Oh, I saw this. Someone posted this at the forum, I think.
But here's the thing.
I didn't see this particular article, but
there's an argument of all these little tiny computers are volatile. There is no storage. University of Michigan has the smallest computer ever that's non-volatile storage. So all these pretenders are like, hey, man, we've got the smallest. But is it really? Is it really a computer if it can't store?
This one's got a sensor. It's got registers. Do registers count? Because it's an ARM processor.
No, because once you pull the power, it's done.
There's no RGB on it, so it's not a computer.
That's what marketing would have us believe. You know they're adding RGB to cars now? Like I saw a car commercial. I can see that. And it was like, look, you can have the interior in any color of the rainbow. And it's like,
oh, they did that.
They used to do that with like the undercar, underlighting.
Well, yeah, that's an aftermarket thing. But I remember the 05 Mustang GT, you could make your instrumentation panel any color you wanted. So that's been there for a while.
Neat.
Now, the big thing, have you seen those new headlights? The color-changing LED headlights?
I've not seen those. Are they dramatically color-changing?
Yes, they can project instructions for your driving, colored instructions, onto the road.
I remember seeing this article, but I didn't realize it could change color, too. Yeah. I thought that was illegal to change your colors on your car.
Well, it's I imagine other people can see the colors, but mostly it's projecting it onto the road for you to see.
Okay.
Neat.
It's only certain colors. Blue and red, I think, are definitely blue because police.
I remember the Knight Rider Collectors Club of somewhere was bitching that they can't have the red sweeper on the front in some states because of state law.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's a law here, actually. You can't have anything that looks like an emergency vehicle.
No. I don't think the Knight Rider car looks anything remotely like an emergency
vehicle. But someone, if it's dark at night and you see someone coming up behind you.
Yeah, you see, changing red lights on the front of a car. I could see that.
Hiding in plain sight. Thermal camouflage moves one step nearer. Why do we need this?
In case the predator comes.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious for military applications.
Yeah, look, there's a picture of the predator in this article. It's like they need, that's the use case.
I don't think it's as much for the predator as it is enemies.
I think the article author was asking the same question I was asking. He's like, military? It's like, no, predator. We're going to stop the predator.
It's pretty common these days for everybody on the battlefield to have some kind of thermal imaging. Because it's not that expensive when you're talking about military terms. This is the problem with this, though. I mean, it seems cool they show the image there, but you need a current. Current has to be flowing through this stuff to get this effect. So this is a battery-operated suit. It doesn't exist yet, but if it ever does, you're probably not going to be able to get it wet very much or submerge it. And
it's almost like a cloth sort of thing. You could lay it over.
It's graphene on top of gold, which also raises the question of how expensive are these going to be. Yeah.
I could not. There are other solutions for rendering something thermally invisible, but they mainly involve keeping the heat actually inside another area, so it doesn't really show up as a hot spot.
Well, yeah, there's other ways, like coating yourself with mud.
That doesn't work. I saw the episode of Mythbusters where they tried that, and it works for a little while, but then it doesn't work.
Arnold showed it worked.
Yeah, I think Arnold would disagree. It worked excellently.
He's alive. Man. He became the Gelverner. Governor.
The what?
Governor.
Are you having a stronk?
Bloomberg Businessweek says the quest to find nuclear fuel on the moon. So this is an article about going to the moon to get helium-3 because we can use that in fission. And there's enough helium-3 on the moon for 200 to 500 years of powering everything that there is on Earth.
I read this article and I was like, that's BS. And then I actually read the details in the article and was like, oh.
But most importantly, this is a story about India doing all that, not the U.S. And India has a knack for going into space on a budget because that's where you want to cut corners, right? I wonder if they really are good at budgeting or if we just spend way more than we should on these types of projects.
I think that we spend a lot of money on these projects to make sure somebody doesn't die. And it's a totally different set of math if you're going to send a robot or something to the moon to mine helium-3.
Well, I think this has to be a manned mission. They also they talk about, you're going to need to bring back so many hundreds of tons. How the hell are you going to get hundreds of tons off the surface of the moon?
There's not that much gravity.
Listen, we will build all the technology and then ask those kinds of questions later when we go to launch it.
Even if there's not a lot of gravity, you're going to have some serious thrusters. And you got to take them with you. That's going to be a big project.
What if you use the helium-3 in some sort of fusion-powered thrusters?
We're like 100 years away from even refining it to the point of using it in a reactor.
The Verge has an amazing article on this new robot stunt double.
You got to scroll down and show that. Because it is really cool looking.
Like the robot can, Like, so imagine a robot that's clothed. This is something that Grant Imahara has been working on. You know the Mythbusters guy? This is what he's been doing for the last year.
Good for him. He's making a new Buster is what he's making.
Yeah, I mean, this is like three steps away from the Terminator.
Wasn't that what Buster was? That was the name of the crash test dummy. That's what it was doing.
So this is really cool.
It is really cool. I could watch that GIF all day. It's very satisfying.
Well, there's even better ones if you watch the video. I mean, these things are really cool when they, you know, spin around and do all that stuff. And all of that is laser guided. So they're like firing a laser at this guy while he's in the air and controlling him.
It's like a cat. Just
kind of like that, yeah. And so these are, when you go and watch the stage shows at Disney, when the really dangerous stunts are going to be these robots jumping around and doing stuff. Wow. So like the robot will fly through the air, dressed up as Wolverine or whatever, and then land off.
And then someone else screen, gets up.
Yeah. And then the actor's going to run out.
That's amazing. Although it makes me sad that Disney is funding this because Disney, but...
You know, you can sort of tell that they're tailoring the park experience now to be with all the IPs that they've gobbled up. Because all these superheroes need to jump around and do stuff, you know, fly.
You can't just have them walk around the park.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not princesses.
Nicely done, Grant Imahara. Good job.
He's like, man, that means a lot coming from you, Wendell.
No, it makes me sad. It's fine. A team of AI algorithms just crushed humans in a complex computer game. So the complex computer game in question is Dota 2.
And they were, the article described them as amateur players, and I was like, does that mean that they are like bronze scrubs, or?
Well, they're probably, you know, just below pro. But the cool thing about this is, it's not one AI playing Dota.
Yeah.
It's five AI. Is it 5-on-5?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Five AIs, and they're only allowed to communicate in-game.
Yeah.
With the text. So.
They learned.
Yeah, it's not like they have some sort of mastermind AI guiding them all. They're actually learning, and they have no more visibility than another Dota 2 player would.
I like one just saying, stop feeding. Well, they're just getting toxic to each other.
You think there is, like, can the AI measure when one AI is being shittier than all the other ones, and do they compensate for that?
I would think so, because it mentioned that, like, teamwork was a big component of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and you have to try and double team and, you know, take the good fights, so... That's interesting.
I'm going to feel really bad for the one human player. It's like there's going to be a version of this where there's one or two human players and the rest of the players are all AI. And the AIs are going to be like, what is wrong with that other player? It's like,
I also wonder, like, would this be a way to hyper train for Dota 2? Like you and four AIs and you learn how they play?
Hmm. I guess if they get to be a higher level of Dota play, that might be an option.
Yeah, right now it still says amateur, so but who knows what level that actually is.
I've played Dota 2 maybe a little bit, I think, but I think a big part of that game is like knowing how to upgrade and buy the items and stuff, so I imagine the AI is really good at that.
Scary. China is launching a high-tech bird drone to watch over its citizens. So.
It says high-tech, but look at it. I mean, it looks like the most basic little thing in the world.
I mean, if I saw that flying overhead and I wasn't paying attention, like I just, out of the corner of my eye, I probably wouldn't think anything of it.
I wonder how noisy it is, though.
They said they actually do make it look like it's flapping, but again, it's like, you how see that, noisy could that possibly be?
Well, you see the little, the little track there? So those wings definitely are going to flap. I mean, it's not going to be a realistic bird motion because those are kind of like wavy and this is just static up and down.
At 300 feet, I don't think that you would be able to tell a realistic bird motion from, you know, just typical pigeon nonsense.
We're turning into the Hunger Games with the Mockingjays.
But the thing about this is, it's like, someone's announcing this. So there was a press release, I guess. But it's like, hey, yeah, we're spying on you, but we're hiding the fact that we're spying on you. But we're telling you that we're hiding the fact
we're
spying on you. So just always be paranoid. That's the lesson.
Yeah, my takeaway from that was any of those pigeons that you see in the park could be spying on you. So you need to be on your best behavior at all times.
And they are talking about, they're talking about linking this into the social score. So you never know when the facial recognition AI is tracking you, whatever you're doing with the pigeons.
And you might be thinking, but do we really need this? Is this a thing that we actually need? And the answer is yes, because the AI is learning to be human doctors in neuroimaging. And it's the same. Like, we need the pigeons in order to study the brain scans. How hard is that to understand?
The pigeons.
This was brain tumors and hematoma. And the other ones were lung tumors, right?
Yeah, that was a different story.
The AI's won on the lung tumors. Now this was 2-0. They I think the doctors took a round on the lung tumors, but the brain tumors, the robots are totally in control.
Again, pigeons, you know, if pigeons, then brain tumors. How hard is that?
I don't think we should ever let you practice medicine. I think that's all I'm learning here.
I wonder if Google could have, like when Google released TensorFlow to the world, not that they're using TensorFlow for this, but when Google released TensorFlow to the world, I wonder if they contemplated AI pigeons and AI, you know, medical scans and AI social credit score or whatevers.
I think that's all just a happy byproduct. You know, that's really the dystopian use cases. But then somebody's like, oh, you know what? We could use this for good, too.
Well, here's the robot that we're sending to space. This robot with artificial intelligence is about to invade space.
Look at his little face.
Yeah.
He looks so neutral. Well, I don't trust him.
They talk about how he's designed sort of to be not upset anybody.
Yeah, he reads the room and, like, his face will display whatever emotion like, he feels is in the room.
He doesn't have any sort of arms or even edges because they wanted to make him totally harmless. He just floats.
There was an episode of Doctor Who about this where literally the robots were like, oh, you're unhappy? I'm going to vaporize you because then you won't be unhappy.
And his name is Simon with a C.
All I read it is, this is my issue again. I read it as Kaiman.
That's why we're both staring at you.
I read it as Kaiman because in Elvish, when you see a C in English, it's actually standing for the K sound.
Yeah, well, they don't speak Elvish on the International Space Station.
Apparently, English is the first language on the International Space Station.
I don't know. Actually, you know, this could be the very first protocol droid. I mean, this maybe could be speaking Elvish because that's what protocol droids do.
Another thing I like about the story is he was designed by this Gert guy, and he's gonna be like Gert's little companion on the space station. But when Gert comes home, somebody else inherits him, and so. Are you always going to feel like, you know, the second wife there?
He never smiles around. Yeah. His bland little robot face is always frowning.
America's largest supermarket chain is launching a fully driverless delivery system.
I'm excited. Yeah, this is going to be amazing.
I almost peed my pants reading that.
Kroger is arguably the least evil national supermarket chain, I would say.
Yeah. I don't really know much about Kroger's corporate structure.
Perhaps maybe not evil at all.
I don't know. You certainly don't have the headlines that a Walmart does. You know, people are not big fans of Walmart.
They're not terrible.
But this thing is going to come to your house and you have to unload it on your own. But I don't see a better way of doing that. Like, how else would you deal with that?
Unless you'd have to hire personnel for it. And then it's like, is that cost effective at that point?
But it's funny because they talk about how they will have personnel in the beginning, because it's like the whole Uber thing. You got to have a human being in there. Hmm. But they are instructed to, under no circumstance, help you unload your groceries. They'll just ignore you because they're supposed to train you to, like, do it yourself.
Is that like the self-checkout?
I guess. Sometimes you can get a tip if you take groceries out to a car.
Oh, yeah.
Really? They allow that?
They technically did not. But some elderly people, like the grocery store I worked at, they were very adamant. Like, they would shove a dollar in your hand and be like,
a whole dollar?
Well, sometimes it was more. It just depended on the old person.
Did they stick it in your garter?
I think there was one guy who got $15 from a little old lady. Wow. She just shoved it in his hand, and he was like, oh, but we're supposed to do this. I get paid. And she was like, no, take it. And then, like, ran away into her car.
She sped away and took out the mirror. So
she threw
Jason.
Money out the window, like, as she went.
My question about this, though, if you scroll back up there and take a look at that. It's so small, like, sometimes I'll not go to the grocery store for a couple of weeks, and I'll buy a lot of stuff.
You just send more than one.
I guess, but I'm thinking that to make this viable, you're going to have to do 2-3 deliveries per run, right? Like a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, because like it's got different compartments in the picture.
But that's pretty small is what I'm saying.
I think that so think about like high margin items. It's going to be like fresh fruit and, you know, like fresh produce and milk, fresh meat and that kind of thing. Yeah. If you could get daily deliveries, like if you're telling me that there's going to be one of these delivery robots outside my house at like 7:30 in the morning with fresh stuff for me to make breakfast and dinner that day, that would be really exciting. So I'm going to get fresh fruit that morning.
But that's the other drawback. There's not going to be enough of them for everybody to get 7 a.m. delivery.
Well, I mean,
that's going to be a window.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that is going to be like for the upper echelon of the thing, and they're going to make more money that way because there are already services that have like that premium delivery where they will like drop random crap at your house at 7 o'clock in the morning, like, you know, organic juice or whatever. And this will be the cheaper version of that.
But also think about the flip side of that. If they run these 24 hours a day and they're fully autonomous, when you stagger home drunk and, you know, it's 2 a.m. and you're dying for a box of donuts, you know,
or more alcohol, as the case may be,
or if you're high, you know, there's a lot of applications there for bad decisions late at night and you don't have to leave the house.
I see no dark timeline in this future.
Yeah, this just seems like this is just rewarding my laziness. I want it 100%.
There is one dark timeline that you're not thinking of, which is like the shut-in. And the Kroger van keeps coming back with its groceries still in it. And they're like, oh, is that someone who's never left the house and now has died? And the Kroger van was their only link to the outside world.
That's a small use case, though. It's an outlier.
Well, get bigger as it goes.
I think that level of darkness is coming to the banking industry. So Germany's second largest bank, Commerzbank, is exploring the use of artificial intelligence to write analyst reports.
Yeah,
there's a headline behind this ad, but I can't show it to you. Listen,
we need a vacuum, so.
There it is. The bigger story might be how easy it is to write bank analyst earnings analysis, because they say they're already 75% there with AI. They just need to get the last 25%, and this thing can crank out earnings reports just like a real banker.
There's some bankers just sweating right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They won't give these reports to the general public. It's just for internal bank use.
What do you think the exploit is for that algorithm? The same way that people are exploiting the YouTube popularity algorithm with, like, you know, the excited face thumbnails, and Google is running experiments to try to deal with that. What do you think the answer for that is in the banking industry?
I think it's going to be, well, not for the banking industry, but for the companies themselves. Remember in the early days of the web when you could put white on white text? When they were just doing the keyword crawling, and you could put salacious words in the bottom of your website and get your site ranked up. I think a lot of these companies and their earnings profiles and stuff can start sneaking in little keywords that the Commerzbank AI loves to see.
Maybe like that tea company that changed their name to include the word cryptocurrency.
Oh, blockchain. Yeah, blockchain could really do it.
The blockchain tea company, and all of a sudden their stock price went through the roof, and that was the only change.
Well, their tea's better.
Well, our inaugural story for the nonsense section is this story from Engadget, which is Pornhub has added closed captions for viewers with hearing loss.
I suspect this was done probably for compliance issues, but maybe they really do care about deaf people.
Is there compliance for porn?
I would think so. No, for all of the web. Anything that's like, it's not really a public service,
but
I guess. But
you can't, I don't think an AI could accurately do this for porn, right? Because a lot of it's nonverbal.
You know, my assumption was that it was AI as well, but I don't think it was.
It wasn't. No, it's actually like someone went through.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think an AI could do it because it's a lot of like grunting and it's like wet, sloppy noise. You know, I don't think an AI is going to figure that one out. So yeah, someone sat down with how many hours of pornography and transcribed. The other service they talked about in that story was they do. For the reverse, for blind people, they do a service where someone is just describing what's going on the screen. What a great job.
Can you imagine? The people who write like the weird. Yeah,
except you're watching porn and just relaying that to a blind person.
I don't know.
And they claim they sort of did that again as maybe a stunt, you know, because they love stunts, Pornhub. And that reporter was like, I went to see, is anybody actually. And they had hundreds of thousands of views. The blind ones did.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is a bit that Jeff Dunham does, who's a ventriloquist, about a school for the deaf that came to see the ventriloquist.
Well, 4chan did that. The Taylor Swift did a contest about where she should do her
charity concert in school.
And they sent her to a school for the deaf.
That actually worked out pretty well in the end. Like, she handled that like a champ. So.
Well, listen, they didn't give her own television network for nothing.
Swift TV.
Families earning $117,000 a year now qualify as low income in the San Francisco Bay Area of California.
Buy you a mansion. Like, if you made that much money here, you would you could buy half of Eastern Kentucky. Maybe not that much, but
I don't think so. But yeah, this is if you're thinking why are you telling us this story? It's because of the tech workers.
64%.
Yeah, the Silicon Valley tech workers make so much money, but they don't take very much home after all of their bills because
real estate.
Not only real estate, but the service industries there and everything is just, it's ridiculous. It's like another world.
This article brought up something that was interesting too, where they're like, the issue is that, you know, it's fine if people want to move, but the issue is that it's making people like who are vital to the city, like teachers, firemen, policemen, like all those people are leaving. And then soon it's just going to be people in the tech industry. And then you don't really have a city anymore.
Well, they have to commute.
Yeah.
And that's,
we don't need firemen, but we do need that hipster that's got that app on the App Store.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, if there's a fire breaks out, he's going to be one of the first ones to die. So
I think that whole scene is going to eat itself eventually. It's going to be a dark day.
Are you saying San Francisco is going to be the new Detroit?
I don't know about the new Detroit.
That thumbnail looked like that.
I think the government policies, they're so crazy. And then you don't have the salt of the earth people. When the shit goes down, something terrible is going to happen there.
The headline on this story just doesn't do this story justice. So Polish charity gets a huge phone bill thanks to a stork. So what happened here is they put a GPS tracker on a stork because they wanted to see what would happen. And so it went to another country. It went to like the Sudan or something.
The last place they saw it was in like the Nile River Valley.
Yeah. And so like this GPS reporter tag thing, it turns out, you know, was basically a cell phone with a SIM card. So somebody took the SIM card out of the GPS stork tracker thing and put it in their phone and then started making all kinds of calls and doing stuff with it because it was a SIM card.
I mean, kind of props to that guy.
Yeah. It shows that sort of African pragmatism where it's like, oh, here's a cool piece of technology. We could figure out what this is and like who owns it. And it's like, nope, let's break this up. Pull that SIM card out. I know what this is. I know what I can do with this.
Well, hell, man. You know? You just strapped. You think they were like, there's a moment where it's like, what the hell did they strap this to a stork for?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like just pure pragmatism. It's like, well, that's strapped to a stork. Let me use it.
$2,700 US of long distance calls. And they must have called their family and said they won the lottery.
I imagine that had to be international calls, right? Yeah. They're probably calling the family in America or back wherever the stork came from. It's like, dude, you're not going
to
believe this.
What a great way to run your terrorist operations, too. It's like, we'll just send the SIM card out on a stork.
Yeah, it's like NSA meeting. Who are we looking for? It's a stork, sir. This airstrike was called in by a stork.
If you were thinking you were going to escape this week's episode of the Level 1 News without hearing anything about Elon Musk, you were sadly mistaken.
Oh, I left out all the stuff about the tents. Because
we kind of did cover that.
It's not even worth. But yeah, well, there's like, I think this month. Oh, today's this
it's
is the new month.
July now. Yeah.
So this is he should be doing 5,000 a week by now, right?
Yeah.
Is this
yeah?
But officially this week, I don't know. I don't think he's gonna make it.
Well, this story is not about any of that. This story is about a unicorn farting from Newsweek. Of all places. Yes, Newsweek.
I don't know this is the exact artwork, but basically...
No, this is something that guy made after the fact.
Yeah.
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 Elon Musk, I guess, was using a piece of artwork that didn't belong to him. Someone found out about it and called him out on Twitter saying they were the creator of the original artwork and that he should pay for it. And Musk was like, you know, he just can't leave well enough alone. He has to tweet back. It's like, maybe you should just, like, not tweet back. Maybe message him privately. Tell him to get... in touch with a lawyer, like.
Well, he put the picture of the unicorn farting in as an Easter egg in some of the tweets and other stuff that they've been doing.
Yeah, and the article said that the guy, the original artist, had a lawyer friend. He was like, "Hey, you think I should sue him?" And the lawyer was like, "No, I don't think you should do that." But he's going to do it anyway. He's trying to get some kind of settlement from us.
Anyway.
But that is, I think it, you know, I hate to defend Musk. I'm not a fan of his, but it seems like it was a somewhat harmless. Yeah. And I don't think he did it on purpose. I think he believed that someone at Tesla drew that.
Yeah, and that it was his to use.
Well, one of his employees tweeted it at him or something. Yeah, he tweeted something to that effect, but he since deleted the tweet. So
I mean, if he knew it was from an artist and didn't want to pay him and then put it in his software and stuff, like, that's kind of crappy, but also, like,
but,
do you really want to sue someone over a drawing of a unicorn farting?
Well, if that someone is a billionaire, I think the answer most people will give you is yes. But I think, here's the thing about Musk. If Musk really, really, really wanted to do everything he could to help Tesla and all of his other endeavors and do his the best for his shareholders and all that, the absolute best thing he could do right now is delete his Twitter. But he will never do that.
He needs to do that so he can get back to work.
He needs to do it because it never works out for him.
People do love to hate on Musk.
Well, he just tweets so much, like, just constantly, and about like the most inane stuff. Oh, it's like, what do you do all day?
He craves the attention, and that's why he'll never do it, even though it's the best thing for him.
All over the place, and I don't follow him.
Oh, you can't miss it.
Tech elites are recreating Burning Man inside their living rooms.
This was an interesting. Whoever wrote this article has very poetic language, which I appreciated.
And sees this as much more than it is.
Yeah.
But this is basically some hipster girl who, if you're rich enough, will come to your house and put on a little hippie show and let you participate.
Yeah, like a drum circle, you know.
And they talk about Musk being part of one of these. So it's like, can you make me feel like a real boy, please?
Yeah.
And it seems like she can a little bit. So she's making a ton of money doing private shows for these rich assholes. Yeah, her whole thing is
like, you know, rich people, they're at a different level and like they don't get to relax as much. So like me and like a bunch of other people, we just hang out and we have the drum circle and we sing and we talk about like our feelings.
Yeah.
And very weird article.
This is like, you can't. When you're living in a community with these people, you can't be a cop or a teacher, like, you know, in that other article. There's those kinds of jobs, you're screwed. But you can prey on them in a variety of ways. And this is a perfect example because they have no calibration with the real world.
As I was looking over this, the description, like the flowery language description of this, the poetic language, as you called it, reminded me of the, I think the next to the, like the fifth season of Arrested Development. Where they're all out in the desert in like the in the dirt dome with George Sr. And it's like nobody that's ever watched Arrested Development has any idea what I'm talking about. But it is literally that.
Yeah. Like it's a hippie commune kind of thing, but it's mobile. Like it just goes with the girl. The author of the article kept describing like her eyes sparkle and light up when she talks about how she's fleecing these rich tech entrepreneurs. Like,
yeah, they light up because they're reflecting all those gold coins that they're paying
her
with.
All those Bitcoin. She's got the little bees in her eyes.
Krista, what do you think about our next story?
This is hilarious.
I want to find the picture because
I couldn't find a picture of it. I didn't bother looking it up in space. Oh, there it is. I missed that.
This is graffiti. This
go
is
down. They can't see it.
Yeah, it's not an OBS. There you go.
It's a dry lake bed in Australia. And someone has made this wonderful piece of graffiti, which I'm trying to avoid demonetization.
Well, now, I couldn't tell. It's hard to tell, but especially, you know, looking at this screen, but it looks like they might have even gone so far as to make a few extra little bits of, like, ejaculate there at the end. But it's so discolored, it's hard. I think there are.
That's
incredible.
It's something. I'm blown away by the things people do on, like, Google Maps, or in this case, for satellite imagery. Like, how many hours?
Well,
you can see this from space.
Here's the payoff, though. You got into Newsweek.
The article says that no artist has come forward. But you are the artist.
They talk about how in Australia and New Zealand, carving penises into things with, you know, like with lawns and stuff is a big. A lot of people are doing it.
A lot of people are bored.
There's a lot of land.
A lot of adolescents, because that was very common around middle school with the boys and stuff that I knew.
But we know. I think it's the, you know, the population density is low. They got a lot of land. They got a lot of time. Why not?
Our next story comes to us courtesy of the BBC. A Wisconsin man has been injured after upskirting shoe camera explodes. The most disappointing thing about this article is that the man was not charged because he was never actually able to take any pictures before his camera exploded.
Well, he also turned himself in. Like, so I guess he was doing this and then...
Well, the doctor convinced him.
Yeah, he wasn't... Wait, his doctor?
Yeah, he had to go to the hospital... Because his foot blew up, and he couldn't come up with an excuse. What is your excuse? Why did you have this volatile battery?
I thought it was his clergy.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. He went.
It wasn't a doctor. It was his. He went to his priest and confessed, and the priest was like, "You should turn yourself in."
You talk about, you know, priests hearing the worst kind of confessions. How do you moderately reply to that?
Well, he told you that you need to turn yourself in, and the guy did, and the police station was like, "Well,
there was no crime. You didn't do anything wrong. Strapped a battery to his foot like a moron." Now, here's what I don't understand about the upskirt phenomenon. What's your excuse for sticking your foot between their legs? Maybe if you're on a bus or something, but it seems like that would be a red flag if a guy's like, you know, if his knee's up your butt.
Anyone gets close to me in public, that's like, get the fuck off. Like, I don't know. You don't need to be in my bubble. Like,
maybe I'm thinking mass transit or really crowded streets or something, but still, it seems like it would be difficult to get that shot. Maybe that's part of the game, right?
I guess. I don't know. I feel like none of the images would even be quality.
So those of you in our comments who are upskirt photographers, fill us in.
Do you look out for different kinds of battery technologies? Is one battery technology safer than another battery technology for those types of pastimes?
Don't tell that guy, though.
National Geographic says the delusions of infestation aren't as rare as you'd think. So apparently a lot of people think that there are insects living under their skin.
2.7%, which...
That seems high.
Seems real high. Yeah, people think that there are things crawling under their skin, and it's like so serious that they will tear parts of their body off to take in to the doctor to be like, here, I captured some of the bugs. And it's like,
the doctor's like, there's nothing here.
Yeah, this is just cartilage. You shouldn't be removing this.
You need this.
Yeah.
This is a thing.
They talk about one guy who dug a hole through his septum because he thought they were in his nose, and now he talks with a whistle.
So I feel like the photography on this article, I'm not going to put it on the camera. You can just go click through
bugs
there.
And stuff.
Yeah, it's going to trigger you if you're one of those people.
I feel like the article author is like 2.7%, huh? Let's test that.
Yeah, because it's like when someone starts talking about like lice or something like that, you start to get that itchy feeling in your scalp.
Oh, I
like
think this is way different than that.
Oh, yeah. But even just like having the pictures up on the screen there, it's like, ugh.
But they did talk to a woman who had sort of gotten through it, and they had convinced her that she didn't have the bugs, but she still kind of felt like she had the bugs. And her quote was like, you have to laugh, because if you didn't, you'd be screaming. And you can just imagine, you know, she knows it's not real, but the bugs are still there, you know.
Our last story is not really funny at all.
It's ironic.
It is kind of ironic.
It's kind of dark.
A Japanese blogger has been stabbed to death after an internet abuse seminar. So there was this Japanese blogger that was giving a talk literally about how to de-escalate and resolve conflict online, who was stabbed by somebody that they had a long time conflict with. So cybercrime expert Kenichikiro Okamoto reportedly killed by a man who abused him online.
And this is not that uncommon, of course. We just had here the shooting at the newspaper. It's very common for people to feel like they have a personal relationship with bloggers or journalists or people on TV or whatever, YouTubers, and get this idea that they're the best of friends, and then they get a response from them that they don't like. And it doesn't meet that expectation that should
that idea in their head.
Yeah, and like, then they become very violent. So...
I don't really know how you de-escalate that, because I mean, it's not logical. You can't speak logic into that.
There was a seminar on that.
Well, yeah, apparently it wasn't very effective.
Yeah, apparently he didn't know how to do that. And this guy, it talked about how he'd been, for years, he'd had this sort of weird, twisted relationship with this blogger.
Well, Kane confirmed there are a lot of messed up people on the internet.
Yeah. Check out some of ours at forum.level1.
There are a lot of people that have an extraordinary amount of free time I don't think we'll follow up on the story, but I will probably follow up on this to find out more about the attacker, because it's like, did the attacker, I mean, clearly they were not there mentally, but this is also Japan, America.
I think a big part of it also is a lot of people who've got nothing going on in life get this sort of online persona and life going on. And they talk about how this guy tweeted right before he turned himself in. saying that he was going to turn himself in. So, social media not for everybody.
Manlystubbles@gmail.com.
Social media pro tip. Nothing that somebody might say or blog about is worth stabbing them over. They might be a big asshole, but it's still not worth stabbing them.
Or sending death threats to their kids at preschool.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of stories like this week.
And yet our leaders are encouraging us to do exactly that.
Oh, yeah. There was, what was it? It was, I was trolling. That's so ridiculous. Well, you've made it through another week.
Kind of a somber note to end on, but that's what it is.
Well, let's not forget what really matters about this week, which is that the USA is and has always been number one.
It was the 4th of July this week. We had a holiday. There was a day, theoretically, we didn't have to work maybe because it was a national holiday.
We probably all will work.
We probably all worked anyway.
Or we might go to the gun range because we got a new gun this weekend.
Ooh. All right. See you.
Bye.